Dear friends, last Friday we had a review or recapitulation of what we have been studying in this wonderful scripture which gives the theory and the practice of this science of fulfillment in our life. It is something that speaks about the goal that we can set forth as human beings and how to practically achieve that goal. We have seen that this is therefore called Brahma Vidya and Yoga Shastra. At the end of every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you will read these two words, Brahma Vidya. Bhagavad Gita is the science of this ultimate knowledge that we are really the absolute, the one without second reality, the Brahman, like a wave is really the ocean. If it sheds its name and form, then what it is the ocean. So similarly, each of us in our true nature is that infinite existence, Brahma Vidya, this knowledge. But we struggle in our practical life to match our experience with this theoretical understanding. That, okay, I read in Bhagavad Gita or in Upanishads or in many other scriptures that I am that supreme reality, that is my true nature, I am intrinsically, potentially divine, agreed, understood. But look at my life, I still cannot stop myself from feeling depressed, humiliated at times. At times I cannot stop myself from running after different pleasures and then feel that I need more and more, the desires go on getting further and further aggravated, and thus I feel myself very small. How can I match my life to that truth that I am infinite? And that is called the technology, the yoga, the conversion of this wisdom into practical experience. So this is being discussed we saw that in the sixth chapter, the Lord described various techniques of concentration and control and how to become master of oneself. All our different instruments like body and mind, we have to gain mastery over them so that they become our instruments. We do not get just dragged after them, but we drive them. They are two different things, isn't it? Being dragged after a car and driving a car. So if the body is dragging us, then we are not using the body. If our mind is just dragging us, we are not user of the mind. We need to have the control over these instruments. So that is discussed. And at the end of that chapter, there were questions by Arjuna about how difficult is this to practice. And Lord said, yes, it's difficult. But that means you have to put in more efforts and proper efforts. And then he said that the matters will become easier if we take a constitutionally suitable path. path of least resistance, as it were. We are not always taking the path of least resistance. In fact, in our ego, we try to get on the path which is path of maximum obstacles and maximum resistance, whereas the path of least resistance is available right there. And we say that, no, I don't like that path of least resistance. But that is again a function of ignorance or maya in our life. It, as you can see in the psychology, this part comes, you know, that what is needed by us, we develop a resistance for that. Something is necessary for us. Something is going to make us better. But the very fact that we need it manifests psychologically in somebody's, in most cases, that we develop a resistance for that. No, I don't need it. I don't need to go doctor to go to see the doctor. Well, because I am scared. So, we develop that kind of resistance for the things that we really need. And if we take up those things in the right earnest, we will see the path becomes easier. The path of God realization is difficult, but there are many ways in which the difficulties can be substantially reduced. And that is the path of devotion. And devotion is, you know, actually, we say that, well, devotion is not something that I like. But our actual lives are more governed by devotion. We may not be devoted to God, but look, you know, that whatever we love, whatever we tremendously like, that dictates our life. Against all our rational faculty. Our rational faculty may say, this is probably not the best thing. But somebody very near and dear to whom we love a lot, well, my wife says, I can't help it, you know, even if I don't like, because my wife says so, I will have to do it. Because my husband says so, I have to do it. Because I don't want to, you know, do something, but that little kid asked me, you know, and he's so adorable. That is why I have to do it. What happens here is that our likes and dislikes, our emotions, they tend to have more influence on our actual life than our so-called rational faculty. And therefore it is important that we learn to turn these rational faculty, these emotional faculty in us towards this goal. And that is now this theme of the 7th chapter. At the end of the 6th chapter, actually Lord had introduced that principle that somebody devotes to me means not a person here, God. This Bhagavad Gita is a science that is being proclaimed or told or taught by God Himself. He says there that by devotion to me, those things become the best of the yogis by that. And he's now start that on the 7th chapter, that this idea that the first verse that we recited last time, अमयासक्तमना पार्थ योगं युञ्जन् मदाश्रयः असंशयं समग्रं माम् यथा ज्ञास्यसि तच्छृणु. Listen, how, with the mind intent on me, taking refuge in me, and practicing yoga, O Partha, Arjuna, and you will know me in full, free from doubt. By taking refuge in Lord, and that path becomes then easier. Like if you are going somewhere, if you have a guide, then that becomes easier. If you are going on a very unknown terrain, and then if you don't have a guide, it is more problematic, difficulties keep on mounting. Your confidence level also is, keeps on going down, because you don't see who can tell you. But if you have a guide, then it has these wonderful effects on life, that first of all, you are assured now that you will be given this guidance, and you are in safe hands. You don't feel then that scared, because there is somebody who knows the way, is with you. And also, that brings more enthusiasm in practice. If you develop that connection with that guide, then with that the confidence level in practice rises, enthusiasm rises. That is why for most of us there is, really speaking, no alternative but to follow this path. We may have some ideas against this, but really speaking, for 99.999% people, they have to take help of a guide. That becomes very important, in fact indispensable. Yeah, it is possible, that you can be a Columbus and sail on an uncharted this path, and maybe you find something, that again Columbus set out to find India, end up finding what we now call America. And that may happen, you set out to find God, went on an uncharted path, and end up finding something else. So it is, so that is how he thought that he has reached India. That is why the Native Americans got this name, Indian Americans. Actually, that is one of our devotees. She was standing in some place there, and she was approached by a Native American, and that gentleman pointed to her. "You are the cause that we get called Indians." That Indian devotee was there, so she stood there, and this man approached her. "That you are the cause that we get called Indians." So that apart, the idea is that if we do not have the guidance, then we may end up in something else, So, and if it is not at all available, another thing. But if it is available, it is worthwhile to get it and start. And therefore, Lord says here that if you connect to me, the things become easier. You should connect to me so that now you have something to hold on to. You are not just hanging in the air. It is you are you have a foothold, you have a support, you have something tangible to hold on to. And he says, what are you really holding on to is the truth itself. It is the reality of the whole existence. You are not holding on to a particular person as such. You are holding on to that reality which pervades in and through the whole universe. Whatever you see in this world is really, in truth, nothing but God. And therefore, turn your mind to God. God is the essence of this universe. The idea is that we don't have to manufacture love. Love is in our heart already, you know. We love. This is even the most cruel persons that we may feel that there is no love in the heart of that person. That love is covered, and that love may be to somebody else. Like a dacoit may be robbing others, killing others for the love of his family. So it is quite possible that the so-called heinous acts are committed out of love for something. Love is very natural to us. We don't have to manufacture love. The ray of hope here, the positive thing here, is that the instrument is already with us. We don't have to get the instrument as such, but turn the direction of that instrument towards that which is real than that which is just passing away. Turning our love to name and form, which changes, which passes away. That love then doesn't get fulfillment. But if we direct that love towards that which is real, that which is the substratum of all, then that is there is a chance, in fact an assurance, that the love will get its fruition. Suppose, just to give you an example, that that if you have a box of cookie, and that your love is towards the cookie really, not towards the box. The box is to be taken and thrown, you know, you trash the box. You do not keep on licking the box or eating the box. And if you try to do that, you will not get any satisfaction out of it. You will just throw up. So, it is, but if you open the box, then you will really get the object that you were really getting attracted to. So, similarly, just think of, you know, we are all like boxes. We are all like boxes. Learn to open, and you will see there is God in each of us. And that is what we really are loving, you know. When you say, if a person A says to a person B, I love you. If you analyze what that person is really loving, is that person loving the nose, the particular color of the skin, the particular hair? Well, not really speaking. There is something deeper that is being loved at. And therefore, the love that is limited only to the form, it doesn't stay too long. If the love is limited only to, well, how nice her hair is, and then that love lasts for a very short time. It doesn't stay too long. But if it is, if the love is for something that is deeper, that which lasts, that something that doesn't just go away, then that will be a lasting love, and that can be therefore for something that is within. And within there is nothing but God. They, in fact, that is the source of love also. We will see this as we proceed ahead, that Lord says that I will give you the knowledge of all this. And when you get this knowledge, you will see that nothing else remains to be known. And what I will be giving you is knowledge along with the experience. The second verse, Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshamya sheshatah yajnatva neha bhuyonyat jnatavyam avashishyate. I shall tell you without reserve about this knowledge, together with realization, knowing which there remains nothing further to be known here. Everything will then be known. What a big promise, is it not? You go to any university, do you get this promise? No, you will know a little bit, and that also will be full of so many doubts. The other day, Dorothy sent me an article from that one scientific magazine, Discover, that how the scientific research keeps on fooling us. He showed that the papers that were published and the results that were got, one third of them were proved to be wrong within a few years itself. A very interesting article. That is the statistics, the measurements, the data and all that is collected. On the basis of that, some conclusions are formed. And then that is always fraught with doubt whether it will be correct or not. And there is always the experiment is made for extrapolation. Because you get the result from the experiment which needs to be applied to something that is beyond that laboratory. If it is going to be applicable only within laboratory, then it is not, nobody is going to pay for running that laboratory. It should be applicable something somewhere out there. But it doesn't always work. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Just a couple of days back, one friend of mine was telling that he has made a design of some engineering tool, and it is now it works, but only at the level of that design. Now it will be actually manufactured. That tool will be actually at the test level. It will be manufactured, and then we see whether it works or not. If it works, then we will proceed to develop it further. So then we can get money out of it. If it only works with the mathematical figure on the paper, then nobody is going to pay him. It has to work in the field there out. So, and that is always a big doubt whether it will happen or it will not happen. Anything that we know here is fraught with many doubts. And it is not the complete knowledge of the whole universe either. But Lord here says that this knowledge that I am going to give you, if you get it, what will happen? Nothing. Nothing will remain to be known. Absolutely nothing will remain to be known. Do you get it, Roberta? That nothing will remain to be known. Once you know this, everything will be known. A big promise indeed. But Lord is giving this promise. So there is some point in accepting it, because God is infinite, can do many things that normally a person cannot do. So, he says, but why then so many people are there? Why do they not go for this knowledge? He says, well, not many are interested. Not many have time. And that is why it happens like that. A beautiful, very important verse comes here that tells us how fortunate we are. That we have this little inkling to know this ultimate truth. It is not that everybody in this world is blessed with this, even this thought that let us realize this. He says, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. That amongst thousands of people, rarely somebody strives to attain to this. And then, what about those who strive, do they attain? Yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvatah. Out of many, many who strive, somebody may get the knowledge. So it's a very rare thing. Amongst thousands of men, of course it is, the translation is men, but it means men, women, whatever. Amongst thousands of men, one perchance struggles for perfection. Even amongst those that struggle, one perchance becomes perfect. That is, amongst those that are perfect, one perchance knows me in reality. That it is very rare that somebody can achieve this. But I can be one of them, is it not? Do you understand, Arunim? You can be one of them, that very rare person. You can be one of them. Each of us have equal chance of being one of those. It is, I remember that incident I have told here previously also, that reading this verse, one gentleman, he was traveling with me in the car, a close devotee. He asked me the question, Swami, is it not very depressing that out of thousands of people, somebody tries, and amongst those who try, rarely somebody reaches the goal? So what chance do an ordinary person like me stand? What chance do I stand? And lurking behind this question is the idea. So what is the point in making any effort at all? Let me just go on pursuing my those little transitory, it may be, but at least something, let me just run after those little pleasures of the senses, because anyway this is too difficult to achieve. And so why bother about this? I am not that great saintly person. So I stand very little chance. So he asked me this question. What a nice question. How much chance do I stand? And before I could reply, another devotee in the car, he gave a very nice reply. A cryptic reply, but very nice, very poetic. Just one line reply, and I will never forget that he said that Yes, they say even if you don't buy a lottery ticket, your chances of winning the lottery are diminished just by a little. It is, even if you don't buy a lottery ticket, your chance becomes zero, that's all. But anyway, it is so little that, say, 5 million tickets get sold. So one gets the jackpot, so your chance is 1 in 5 million. So even if you don't buy, your chance doesn't get reduced. It gets reduced only marginally, isn't it? From 1 in million, it becomes zero. So the drop is not much at all. The idea is, but don't you still buy lottery tickets? You people still buy lottery tickets. If you do not buy lottery ticket, whatever chance you have, that also gets ruined. If you have the lottery ticket, you can always hope that I can be one of those 5 millions. I can be one of those 5 millions. So at least buying a lottery ticket, you know, that is all our efforts for spiritual perfection are much more than that, actually. It is not just a part of luck. It is, we are getting there. But it takes time, that's all. It is, in that sense, it is that out of so many, only a few attain. As Jesus said, that many call, but few are accepted. Few enter through the gates. It is true. First of all, it is very difficult for people to turn their minds even to the thought of something beyond their just ordinary cares of mundane life. How to get more money? How to keep my family and all happy, how to remain healthy, how to change the government from this to that, and so forth. That is the, that how can I rise a notch higher in my profession? My job is so and so, I am striving for promotion, when I will get it? Or in this economy, how will I be able to keep my job in my hand? And like that, these are the mundane concerns. Many of us feel that we do not have time, we do not have the desire either to think of anything higher than that. But there are a few. Not that they don't have these mundane concerns. Not that they give up those concerns either. But they see that after all, more important thing is what the life is for. It is all right that we have these other concerns. But is that the goal of life? What do I ultimately want to have in my life? All the other things, they will be coming and going, vanishing. What do I, am I to use this life for? Those ideas become important in those people. And thus, they start inquiring in the nature of the truth. It is, the inquiry starts blossoming. This will come, you know, that is how many people turn towards this truth. Very few turn towards this truth, but some do turn. And we can be one of them. It is the very fact that you come here so that you are basically one of them. We all have not that you are coming here because there is nothing else to do. All of you are quite busy people. There are many, many ways that you could have spent or utilized your time. But still, you have chosen to come here because you find that you can find some better use of your time in pursuing these more important aspects of life. So, this is where we must remember how fortunate we are. Something that has come to us, now let us not lose it. Let us remember that this is something that can grow in us, and one day it will be a big wish-fulfilling tree, as they say, Kalpataru, in our life, a wish-fulfilling tree in our life. We got a seed. Now let us not lose the seed. That seed is there, and if we have got it now, it is important that we preserve it. That is why Lord is telling this, Arjuna, and through Arjuna he is telling all of us, that look, a precious thing has come to you. Very rarely people get it, one amongst thousands think of it. So, you are one among such thousands. You have got a very precious thing with you. So, take care of it. Don't lose it. So, another thing that is here is that don't run after what the majority does. That also affects us, you know, that, what 100 people around me are doing, let me do that. So many people, do they go to learn these things? They go to dancing or parties or movies. They spend their time like that. They spend their time running after more and more money. That is, so let me do that. They spend their time politics and such things. Let me do that, because all around they are doing like this. We are governed by what the people say. Many people, although they have a little desire in them, that let me attend the spiritual classes, learn something about the spiritual wisdom, but they feel, it is more important, it seems, to go to the birthday of someone, this person, because if I don't show up, they will criticize me. If I don't go there, they will say something bad about me. As if, you know, it counts anything. Even if you go, they can say bad things about you. Who prevents? Even if you don't go, we feel that I am very important. If I don't go, they will notice and they will miss me. Nobody ever misses, you know. We generally think that we are very important. And if I don't go, they will be shedding tears. They will make face to just to console you. Oh, you didn't come, we missed you so much. But there is nothing really like it. It is just a way of speaking. Really, nobody cares. But we make big thing out of it, just out because of our attachment. If I don't go there, they will be so sad, and then I will be accused of so many things. They will say names to me, and forget, you know, what does it matter? Even if they say, even if they say that you are a great, best person in the world, and does it make you any better? It doesn't make you any better. If they say that, oh, Vishwanath, you are the worst person in the world, does it make you any worse? It doesn't make you any worse, you know. Not that you are bad, but it is just, it doesn't make us anything any better or any worse, you know. So why care about those things? That is why he says that it is not a matter of majority. What most people do, let me do that. This is not governed by the rules of democracy. If you want to contest the presidential election or something like that, then you have to pander to the public opinion. But if you want to be dear to Lord, then your priorities have to be different. You cannot pander to public opinion and also become dear to Lord. And those who become dear to Lord, friends, you will see that they were not very popular figures. Jesus was crucified, you know. Many such things, they had to spend their life without any friends. That's fine. After all, what is important in life, that is, that they have got that. It is, therefore, Lord says that, why do you care about whether others are following or not? If you feel that this is right thing, follow. The courage has to be there, that if something is right, a very important point, you know, that if something is right, then don't worry whether another 100 people follow it or not. Hold on to it and go ahead. Soon you will see that really many of those 100 people will also, some of them at least will start following. It is not that they are not following because they are human beings are like many times like sheep, you know. Follow. That sheep ahead of me is going there, and so let me just follow. Why that sheep is following? The sheep ahead of it is going that way, so it is also going like that. So don't be like that. Think, you know, what is right for you to do. Think of what is the truth, and what do you really care for in life. Hold on to that. Let us remember, howsoever dear a name and form may be, it is going to go away. It is things that are so attractive, and we like to cling on to those, they are going to go away. There is a nice story, you know, that there was a little child who was really the heir to a kingdom. But then his uncle wanted the kingdom. Because this fellow was a child, the uncle was ruling. This comes in the Puranas, some of the Indian epics, this beautiful story. And then, therefore, he told somebody, one of his confidants, that take this child in the forest and kill him. And so then I will be the king forever. Then the little child was taken to the forest, but the person decided not to kill the child. You run away, and that's about it. I won't kill you. So the child said, okay. Just give this little box to the king, my uncle, and tell him to read what I have written there in this. Sometimes when he becomes old, let him read this. And what was written, that became a very important or very often quoted verse in Sanskrit literature, that look, there was the great king like Rama. He could not take his kingdom with him. He died, and his kingdom still remained. He could not take his kingdom with him. There were other, this king and that king, they all were such great kings. But none of them could even in spite of them being such glorious and great kings, they could not take their kingdom with them. But you seem to be thinking, you seem to think that you can carry this kingdom with you when you die. That is why you are paying so much impudence. That is why you are ready to do such cruel acts. So, this is what we should remember, you know, that what is going to remain? One great Swami who used to teach us, he used to always tell that whenever you have to act on something, when you have to, you always think about what is going to remain and what is going to vanish. Pay attention to what is going to remain, what is going to vanish. Well, don't put your mind into it. Do you put your money in the stocks that are going to dip tomorrow? You don't. You know, it is vanishing. You know, that bank is going to collapse. If you learn that bank is going to collapse, then, well, will you go and buy $1 million stock of that? No, you don't. But we know that about banks. But look how much emotional investment we make in names and forms which are sure to vanish. This is what is important, friends. Let us not invest our mental wealth into things which change and go away. Let us invest it in something that remains, and that is this Lord alone remains. So he says that remember this. Don't look at what the other fools like you are doing. Do something that your wisdom tells you to do, and not what all others are doing. It is in religion sometimes the popular custom replaces the spirit of religion. It is, therefore, Vivekananda told a nice story. And actually there is a temple like that, you go to the temple, and most of the people, they are worshipping a deity outside. That deity is to be worshipped with a lot of very rich offerings and all that, and it is and very few people were going inside the temple to worship the deity, and that too they were worshipping with most ordinary articles. That pomp and grandeur of worship was going on for the deity outside. And then that one person asked, very curious, that why this is outside and what is this worship? What is the name of this deity that is worshipped outside? And he was told, the name of this deity is popular custom. Popular custom is the deity that gets worshipped. Inside, people say, even if you go, even if you don't go, doesn't matter. But the popular custom needs to be worshipped. That needs to be given obeisance all the time. So, many times we go to temples or churches or that's synagogues or whatever, to have that public distinction, you know, that yes, I have gone, you know, did my duty of religious observance, I did the, whether we see there, devote ourselves to Lord or not, we are concerned whether that priest or minister has noticed me or not, so that, you know, he will know that I have come. So, it is this idea of popularity is to be banished by devotees. I may not be known by people. The desire for glory in the popular, this thing should not be hankered for by the one who is seeking their ultimate devotion in life. So now, after this, he will tell that, why do I tell that you will know everything without any doubt and without anything remaining to be known? That he will discuss, that why do I say this? We don't have much time to dwell into those verses. They are great verses. Really, the idea that how the God pervades every nook and corner in these coming two verses, it will be told very beautifully, very penetratively. We shall try to see that next Friday. If you have any questions, you can ask. Yes, Charles?
What I find most inspiring is listening to and reading about spiritual ideas, but the rest of it I do just because I'm supposed to do it. But I don't get that feeling of inspiration from it that much. Is there something wrong with that?
Well, the inspiration that you get in reading the scriptures, that needs to be made dynamic in life. You know? Like if you take the food, why do you take the food? You need that it should nourish every part of your body. It should support every action. That the food is not just an taking in for only remaining it in the mouth. It nourishes your whole system. So this knowledge is like food, you know. You take it in and it nourishes your whole life. It provides inspiration. Inspiration is like power and also the sustenance. It should sustain the spiritual struggle. So if that is happening, everything that else that you do, like you go to your work, you have other these responsibilities and duties in life, you work for that. In and through all that, this spiritual sucker should manifest and function. Yeah. So let us conclude with the closing prayers.
गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतम् एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु.